to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it?
Yes.
Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay this man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Welcome to Big Stacking Jacks. I'm Tom Howley. Just met Weber on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill as well. Yes, we do. We always have Lou Michaels on Thursday morning. We have a roller coaster.
I'm here.
I think he just thought it was Wednesday.
Maybe it's possible.
Or Friday. I don't know.
Or
what
Friday.
You
we don't know. I'm just looking at the roller coaster market here. Down on 486. S&P futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 171. So if you were kind of a Fibonacci guy, you'd see us way down and way up, even like a little more than way down, and then we go about two thirds of the way all the time, or maybe a little more. First, it was two Fibonacci's two thirds. You know, I'm not sure
why.
Right. I'm not sure why that number is sacred to some mathematician sort of dudes, but it is. Are you a mathematician sort of dude?
No, I'm not a numbers guy. I'm a words guy. I realized early on that there were people with a propensity for this, and I was very happy to let them do the math work while I figured out other stuff.
I did all right in college calculus, Lou. But you know what? The minute, I'm going to say 6 months after I did very well in it, it's just like there's no reinforcement whatsoever of that. So you just forget it instantly. At least I did.
I saw... When I was an undergrad, I saw the start of kind of data crunching requirements and mathematical knowledge, especially in statistics, in social sciences. The very beginning of it, there was something called SPSS, the Statistical Package for the Social Sciences. This was in the early 70s to mid 70s, and that allowed you to use computers to crunch data like, you know, population data, demographic data, incidents of terrorism, things like this. Very kind of early application of big data to social sciences. And one of the things that jumped out at it is that if you were using this stuff, is you needed to really understand some basic statistical math and basic calculus. And so that's only gotten more refined. And if you follow some of the social science people I follow on Twitter, that are doing these kinds of studies, especially stuff on in what's called the blank slate versus determination world, you see some really interesting stuff coming out. But the ability of these people to crunch numbers and crunch data effectively is unparalleled, and I just think it's really interesting that facility with mathematics is something I started to develop. I didn't stay with me, but it's something that has become more and more prevalent within the social science world. And again, the easy access to big data crunching capacity makes a big difference and drives a completely different job requirement.
Well, the interesting part is that undergrad there was this kind of split. I mean, when you went to Notre Dame, you know, there was depending on what you were going to be involved in. I mean, there was math your freshman year, and if you were going to be doing the science stuff like I was, everybody took this pretty advanced calculus, which of course I had never had in high school, and all the other gentlemen it kind of sandbagged me a year, but I caught up, and so by the end of the year, you know, I was fine. I lucked into probably the best teacher because everybody took the same test. Now, if you were in sociology or something, you took statistics or you took, math for the non-mathematic sort of guy. But that's kind of, you went down, because obviously if you were going to be an engineer and everything, a lot of calculus, a lot of statistics, a lot of that kind of stuff. Now, when you get to grad school in business, it's a totally different world of math. Well, I don't know why we got to talk about this morning, but you start out taking, like, linear programming.
Mm-hmm.
All these max-min problems, you know, what you can do with people, what you can do with systems, and then if you want to go further, like I did, which was pretty stupid, by the way, I took like quadratic programming, which is even, I couldn't even tell you what it was now. And the other one was digital, which is far and away the most difficult. Because normally when you do a max min kind of problem of some sort, you can have a 4.5 or something like that. Well, if you do integer programming, this is not mathematics where you're adding anything up or subtracting things or multiplying and dividing or even doing trigonometry or anything. They're all like covering problems. I mean, how do you right. maximize the amount of, you put, 100,000 barrels of oil in a refinery. How do you look at all the input costs and how do you look at all the, price of gasoline, kerosene, diesel fuel on the other end? Look at the chemistry of your particular batch of oil you put in there and come out with the maximum amount money-wise. Well, that's very complicated, but sort of relatively easy mathematically. The hardest part is if all of a sudden, how do you land with a pilot where there's every plane? You know, you can't show up with half a pilot. It wouldn't work so well, right? So it has to land on the number, which is, the course literally was, all we did was set up problems. The book was maybe an inch thick, nothing but formulas, and the first book I ever bought that was like over $30, and it was probably the smallest one. This was in, God knows what, 1976, so, but of course I couldn't wait to get out of. Couldn't wait to get out of. I mean, it was like, you couldn't even, because my whole thing was if I solved problems, I'd get good at solving them. The solution of any problem was beyond the scope of the class, Lou. So I'd be sitting there writing down formulas. I had no idea what these formulas are. And there was 10 people in class. There was me, and there was 9 other people that had already gotten hired by some one of the big oil firms. And whatever possessed me to drop in there, I have no idea. It was the dumbest thing I ever did.
Well, I had, as an undergrad, because I went to a service academy, I had 6 semesters of, and I was a Russian area studies major. I had 6 semesters of math. I think I had 10 or 12 semesters of various engineering, aeronautical, civil, astronautical, electrical, and mechanical engineering. And then all the basic science, chemistry, basic, 2 semesters of chem, 2 semesters of bio, 2 semesters, 3 semesters of physics, that stuff. And that was to get your basic degree. Those were all core curriculum courses, and I thought that was a very valuable thing later on. But the service academies, at least at the time, I don't know if this is still true, they're not the idea of a major was kind of antithetical to what they were trying to do. Everybody was supposed to come out with a very general education background that was going to allow you to solve a lot of different problems at different times in your military career.
Well, you knew where to go for the answers, and it was beyond your scope, and what wasn't.
Yeah, I think that was part of the purpose. I mean, the good thing about it is, in my current role, it helps me when I talk to our engineers and our design people about metal properties or physics issues or whatever with the designs we work with. So from that perspective, it's very helpful. It was very helpful when I was practicing law, because a lot of times our clients would be engineering companies, and even personnel matters would involve quantitative competence by a particular employee, so I could understand the problems that these people were being asked to solve and why a particular person couldn't do a particular thing.
Well, I'm really kind of stunned that if you use the stuff, it kind of stays with you. I mean, obviously the stuff that I use from the math for the trading and stuff, but my mother's cousin was they must beat him up pretty bad in Ohio State. Aerospace and engineering was a 5-year major, so they take it real seriously. And but he, he worked in that field for a while, and then the place he worked for left Columbus, so he didn't. But still, today, if you're a junior in high school and you say, "Hey, Uncle Lee, help me with my homework," he can do it tomorrow for trigonometry. I couldn't do that. If the kid would be looking at me, and I'd be looking at him going, "Wait, you're asking me?" It was a long time ago.
I'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble if I were required to solve a couple of differential equations.
Oh, me too. I would. The reason why this may seem like we're far afield here, Lou, but I'm kind of leading you down the road. The last few days, I've been doing some studies on the swine flu epidemic, the first one with the Jerry Ford thing, where they almost killed everybody with the vaccine. Then we didn't
almost kill everybody, but we made some people sick.
Yes, well, you felt like you were killed. Then we had the swine flu thing in 2009, which appears to be really, so far, a lot worse than this thing. And I don't remember anybody not doing any high fives and not going to work and stuff. And then there was the SARS epidemic. And then, and I look at all these statistical, what do you call them? The curves of the infection curves and all those kinds of things. And there's a lot of math going on here too. And you wonder, well, I mean, I'm assuming the people that are doing it know what the hell they're doing. I mean, I don't know why I should, because it seems like people.
Well, but the math, yeah, there's some very good numbers that you can, or formulae that you can use to work through this stuff that are, but it's dependent on having accurate data. And I don't know anybody that trusts what's coming out of China. I really don't. And that's where obviously most of it is. So we've got some cases here. You've got cases in Iran. You know, the disease looks much deadlier in Iran, for example, than it does in the West. It's going to look bad here because one of its initial vectors was into a nursing home or long term care facility. Well, guess what? You know, that if you're going to, if people are susceptible to this thing, they're susceptible there. So you've got that issue. It's that I think our predictive numbers are very difficult right now. We don't have good data, and you know, now it appears that there's a second version of the virus. It's mutated, which is something you and I had talked about early on. It's mutated into a less rigorous form that doesn't appear to have quite the same mortality rates or transmission rates. So, I mean, right now, as far as I'm concerned, I'm sitting tight, I'm listening, I'm reading, but until we start seeing a broader sector of people with the virus, or we can identify a broader sector of people with the virus other than what's in China, I just am sort of holding my breath on predictions.
All right, so we should take a poll here for Stocks and Jacks, and we'll get Mr. Weber involved in this. Of course, he's 3 days away from his wedding, so he has to call home and ask for any decision now. He can't do crap.
Congratulations, Maddie.
2 days away, and
two
thank you.
Congratulations. That's excellent.
But you can't even ask him now what he's going to have for lunch without having to call home. It's getting bad.
That's not true, but it could get there.
So my question to you, Lou, is if all of a sudden we have to hunker down, because we've seen this happen here at various places, and I've talked to various listeners, are you going to go
it's happening on the West Coast.
Or are you going to go buy the 50 pounds of rice, which I've seen happen? Are you going to go buy, clean out the pasta aisle? Or are you going to go for the full box of mac and cheese?
None of the above.
Well, what are you, going to do?
I am looking in my study here. I am looking at a 30-day container of freeze-dried food, which I had long before this thing hit, and two cases of self-heating MREs.
That stuff's awful.
I've had for a year or so.
Why? So, are you on some like right wing redneck reservation out there? What are you doing?
No. I mean, I just keep, ever since, you know, I was in D.C. when 9/11 hit, and I was crossing the river when that guy hit the Pentagon, or the Potomac on the Theodore Roosevelt Bridge when that guy hit the Pentagon. And watching what happened there, and the idea that I might have to pick up and go in a hurry from someplace to someplace else, I have ever since maintained just a food supply and the ability to store about 15 or 20 gallons of water immediately. You know, fill it up, throw it in the back of the car, and go. And so I've got some basic stuff, and I've kept that updated since then. And you know, I wouldn't call myself a prepper. I'm not staffed
to, you have, you know, the
fully off a zombie apocalypse for a year.
Do you have the fully armed bomb shelter, of course?
No, I don't have a bomb shelter. If we had to shelter in place here, if I got told, look, we're quarantining all these things, we're shutting down all the stores, we're shutting down all the movie theaters and everything else. So you're not going to be able to get out and move around for, you know, for 4 or 5 days while we figure out what's going on. It's no big deal. So the short answer to your question is I'm not going to buy any of that stuff. I'm just going to...
Well, because you already got it. Because you already got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I keep a supply of that stuff available.
So I gave you a question that had three parts, and you said, don't worry, I got other stuff.
Yeah, I said none of the above.
Yeah, basically.
So what I might go out and do, it not necessarily, so I'm not going to buy food. What I would probably get is something to sterilize. I'd get hand
Purell
or whatever, which I guess there's a nationwide run on this. I was talking to one of my friends last night, and she said she tried to order some Purell on Amazon, and it's either gone or it's like $700 for
you can't get it.
You know, a case.
Well, at the Walmart last week, ordering one of her pals, paling in one, and they're out of bleach. So on Monday morning or Sunday morning, the Myers is loaded with bleach and it's on sale. Now, I don't know what do you do with 8 gallons of bleach. I have no freaking idea.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but by sanitizing yourself, you're just protecting others, right? You're not protecting.
No. For example, by washing your hands, you're preventing you're preventing transmission from your hands to your face or your mouth or your eyes or whatever.
Yeah, but if I wash my hands and then I come out and someone sneezes on my hands are no longer washed.
Well, it's hard to stay clean, man.
That's my point. But if you
consistently sanitize your hands, either by using gloves or by using hand cleaner or by using soap and water, if you consistently sterilize your hands, you greatly reduce the transmission risk.
Which you wouldn't any disease, not just this.
Right, no, I get that.
Right, yeah. That's why I was talking last week about the 2009 swine flu epidemic, and I said this kind of looks like that in terms of mortality and other things, the precautions were the same.
The difference is, Lou. Well, actually, I was reading about that yesterday. I read it on the air. That was a combination of four different viruses by the time it made it to the end.
Yeah.
It was virtually the same virus from 1918. It was a combination of a bird, a swine, and human virus. And then it latched down to a fourth swine over somewhere in Asia. And that's how I got the name of the swine bird. But it was not the same as the Jerry Ford's swine flu.
No. No, it was swine too.
Yeah.
Son of swine.
Son of swine, yes.
flu, the sequel.
Now, in the midst of all this stuff, you know, the wedding and all kinds of stuff, and now if you had to go out in place, I hope you wouldn't forget, like, about a 50-pound bag for Venkman.
Of course not. You have to take care of him too.
Yeah, there's no dog food. A poor guy. He could be down knocking on my door, saying, "Hey, what the hell?"
Well, we always have at least like 30 pounds of dog food on hand,
just in case.
We always do.
I mean, it could double as people food if you get really desperate.
Well, that's the truth. Unless it's from China, that stuff.
I was talking again. This is stuff that comes up in conversation. Somebody was talking about, oh my God, you know, the water's going to shut off, and I said no. They're not talking about a shutdown of utilities. I mean, we're not in the zombie pandemic yet, but you know, most people, if they live in a house, have access to at least 50 or 60 gallons of potable water immediately. This guy was talking to us. What do you mean? I go, your hot water heater.
How many people know that, Lou? What percentage of the population knows it?
Well,
10%?
He certainly didn't. He said, I hadn't thought about that. I said, yeah, and it's got a drainage plug at the bottom. You just take water right out of it.
Yep.
Now, you don't shower for a while, but that, you know, you've got an immediate supply of that much water right there.
Well, Lou, I want to tie this together kind of a little bit, because once in a while, you know, I talk about when the economy is booming, which I never thought it was coming out of 2009. It's better. But when the economy is booming, there's pieces of the economy that are very difficult to count. In other words, if all of a sudden this is a really good year, which it doesn't look like it's going to be, the Lou Chief Matt Weber Construction Company gets together and we hire three electricians and three plumbers, and we see, you know, Eric May and Carl Denninger are building six houses, and all of a sudden we become the contractors for that. We get paid as a company. And then we pay our people, we're not paying them cash or dodging the tax laws. We're paying them regular, but they're contracts, but they're going to be 1099 employees. So somebody somewhere in the bowels of Washington estimates, it's actually, the term is like the birth and death ratio. How many small companies are being born versus how many are dying? So when the economy is good, there's a lot being born, essentially. And we won't know about these people until January. when they get a reward, or actually when they send their taxes in, because we're not taking it every week. They're not a W-2 employee. W-2, right? And then on the way, when the economy is in the crap hole, we're probably going to be out of business because there's no houses, but nobody knows that either, right? So I think when you pick up, when you're talking about the statistics on these things, it's sort of the same way. I think if it's a really horrible, just a regular horrible flu season, and you get a little bit sick, you're not going to the doctor because, A, the guy's full, the emergency rooms are full, and, B, you don't want to catch anything worse when you're there. So I think in a bad year, it's always underreported. In a good year, you're going for your checkup anyway. There's no reason not to. When the doctor takes your temperature and goes, hey, you got a mild case of the flu, and then it's reported. So I have a feeling in China, as soon as it got jammed up, it's got to be way underreported.
Well, so there are other issues that play in here. In China, the initial reports of the illness were widely suppressed by Chinese government officials, and people who reported it were punished. So you had an immediate suppression. We still have no idea what the numbers are in China, and no credible concept of what the numbers are in China.
Well, I think if you die at home,
they've been lying from day one.
If you die at home, I think they just bury you. They don't care what you died from.
Well, they were taking a very restrictive look. So was the CDC here. I mean, the public health policy issues are twofold, or on two tracks. The first track is we got to deal with the disease because we don't want a bunch of people getting sick and dying. That's our raison d'etre, and we've got to prevent that. But the second track is actually as important, maybe more important, because you've got a small segment of the population that's going to get really sick from this, but the entire population could be drastically affected financially and long term by an economic panic. Where everything shuts down and everybody stops doing everything on the basis of irrational or badly informed decision making, and so the one of the things that you've seen and this is the same thing that happened with Ebola. They're trying to the government folks here, at least in the U.S., are trying to get accurate information out to people, but at the same time put it in context so everybody understands. Look, you may have to do this. This may be an issue, but do not run screaming into the night, and do not react the way I'm seeing some stories that are coming out about people who have survived this thing. So one of the passengers from the I want to call it the Corona Princess or the Diamond Corona, but it's the Diamond Princess, that ship in Japan, comes home to find his neighbors telling him to stay in his house, that they'll deliver food for him, getting death threats and being told to move away. I mean, the essence of kind of human stupidity, and this is the kind of reaction that, again, the public policy people are trying to deal with. If that breaks out on a wide scale, you've got complete civil disorder.
Why aren't we so much more susceptible to that these days? I don't. The panic of the whole thing is just nuts to me. I mean, we don't panic if we have a bad strain of flu coming up here from Australia. It's the same thing. Well, so far it is. I mean, you and I are worried about the mutation, so I always have to keep that in there. This one, well, the other flu could change too, but they haven't for a lot of years.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is why we see this kind of psychology, because we revert back to our you know, early evolutionary selves. We react to a self-preservation, a fear of the other, and uncertainty, and our you know, our monkey brains drive us to the idea that, my God, somebody's coming in from outside the tribe, somebody's coming in from outside the family, they're different, they've got this illness, there's not enough good information about the illness, so I'm going to panic and react with, you know, get away from me, stay away. I'm going to make this person a pariah, et cetera. And it's,
well, I have a quick question. While you're on that theme, the last thing I want to do is hype anybody up here, but doesn't it seem a little strange to you that originally everybody was from this one little spot in China, and you could trace everybody back, Now all of a sudden, there was somebody who was tested in, I was reading last night in Seattle or someplace. Not Seattle, maybe it was somewhere else over, out there. They were never near anybody. So it's gotta be Lou, a third, it's not a man in a way, and
no.
It's gotta be at least a second or third generation.
It just means, I'm convinced right now, it's more likely than not that this is something coming out of that facility in Wuhan. But irrespective of that, all that means is that in Seattle, we had a guy coming from China who was identified in January, I believe. One patient. He had been circulating for a while. So
okay.
You had, and this goes again back to our mortality rates and infection rates. He had been circulating for a while. They believe now in Seattle that this guy or somebody like him from China who had had exposure in China has basically been responsible for a low-grade, widespread community infection that's been running for 6 weeks.
That's what I was going to say, 6 to 8 weeks already. That was my number two, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
All right, we got to head off the break here, Lou. S&P futures now down only 53 points. There were 65 when we came in. NASDAQ futures down 150. Iran setting up checkpoints. I don't know if we have to worry about that. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment.
Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howie, Mr. Milweber. Mr. Lou Michaels with us as well. S&P Futures down 57 as the yo-yo of the market continues. NASDAQ Futures down 159. We got Dow down 453. Just for a refresher, let's talk about yesterday. Yesterday we were, as soon as my machine wants to change here, let's talk about some individual stocks first. We've got Apple down 592. They were up yesterday. We've got McDonald's down 391. And we've got Goldman Sachs down 5. Goldman Sachs has been getting pummeled in this whole thing. They're down more on the down days than they are on the up days. Industrial average yesterday was up 1,173, so that's about the same as the couple of down days last week. S&P 500 was up 126. That's huge, 4.25%. NASDAQ was up 334, 3.8. All right, so over Asia today, we have Nikkei up 229, that's 1%. Shanghai up 60, that's almost 2%. Hang Seng up 545, that's 2%. So they obviously is not, this happened in our market after their stuff closed, which is, that's why we're getting these back and forth in all these places. Over in Europe, as soon as that thing, this thing, there we go. DAX down 201, that's 1.7%, roughly what they were up yesterday. FTSE down 126, 1.8%. CAC around down 103. Bonds, we're looking to get a little of this. 10-year, minus 0.95. I don't know what in the hell these guys are doing with this, but this is not going to help anything. You heard it here first. Bund, minus 0.63. Japan, minus 0.10. I don't understand anything. Oil up 17 cents. Brent up 11 cents. $46.95, though, still way low. Gold up 11 bucks, $16.54. Silver, $17.39, as gold is shooting back up here again. What else we got? Many, we got coronavirus, we got somebody dying in California, we got the House passing an $8.3 billion emergency coronavirus spending plan. I'm going to say if three-quarters of that or two-thirds of it goes towards anything near the coronavirus, I'd be stunned, but we'll lose opinion on that in a second. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start here on the expressways. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. Traffic building to normal volumes there. Same for the south side. So off to a great start. Weather today, not so bad either. Some sunshine early, then some clouds rolling in later. We'll reach a high of 50 with some high winds this afternoon. Then the temperatures will drop overnight, and tomorrow will be about 15 degrees colder before we warm up again for the weekend. Right now it's sunny and 37, going up to a mostly overcast 50 today. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 84. Right now it's clear and 51. In sports, the Bulls got Lauri Markkanen back, so that was the good news. The bad news is they didn't have Zach LaVine, and they didn't have enough. They lost up in Minnesota to the Timberwolves, 115-108. Suns were off last night. Blackhawks were off as well. They're looking for their fourth straight win tonight as they host Edmonton at the United Center. That's a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. The Coyotes doubled up the Canucks 4-2 in Vancouver. College hoops, Notre Dame had a 7-point lead at the half, but lost to Florida State 73-71. And Northwestern was blown out at Wisconsin 63-48. Chief.
So Lou, out of this $8.3 billion emergency plan, why didn't you get us $1 million? We talk about it.
Ha. I'm actually sort of heartened by the fact that we're taking some what appear to be logical steps in response to this. I will say this though, and then there was a report. Maybe Maddie could find the article. The CDC, which this is their job, apparently got a false start on this thing by sending out test kits that were defective or ineffective, and on a massive scale, and didn't really catch it until a week or two later. And so we end up with a delay in terms of our ability to detect this stuff. They also took a very restrictive view of what constituted a positive for the virus. So these kinds of things, these kinds of policy decisions have widespread ramifications down the road. And it's also a reason, this goes back to the discussion we were having before the break. Why are people reacting this way? Well, they're reacting this way because they've seen government, big government decision makers who supposedly have the expertise, they've seen them screw up. And so the immediate reaction is, okay, fine. I hear what CDC is telling me, but my monkey brain is telling me this. And I know CDC has made a mistake here and makes mistakes in the past, so I'm going to go with my monkey brain.
I'm going to ask a stupid question. Well, it's not. I don't think it's a stupid question, actually. Stupid question because there is no answer, or we all know the answer. Considering what you and I have talked about last week and this week, and other people on the show, Carl and everybody, regarding what's going down with this thing and the things we don't know versus things we do know, how exactly will these stiffs in Congress get together and pump out $8.3 billion? Do they even know what the hell they're spending on, or is it just Merck shows up with their lobbyist, we're working on a vaccine, we'll give them $500 million? Is it the same bleeps that are getting this money, doesn't matter what they're doing?
My very quick, very cursory review of the money indicates that it's being targeted pretty effectively. What I'm fascinated at is that, you know, nobody seems to be it's being politicized, but it's not being politicized to the extent that I thought it might be. And I think that's a credit to CDC and to Fauci and these other folks that are involved, who come across as pretty rational decision makers. And it doesn't look like the government does not look like it's panicking. And that's important. So the money going for test kits, the money going to backstop Medicare and Medicaid for testing, paying for the testing, money for additional research at specific labs, you know.
All right, so how do things, all right, stop,
I mean,
stop
that,
there.
That's targeted. And
stop
I mean, if
there.
We throw, $500 million at Merck or somebody else who comes in and says, hey, we're working on this, and here's where we are so far. I mean, I'm sorry, that you in a situation like this, if you're a politician, you do that.
Okay, but
you don't ask a lot of questions.
All right, but these are the same people that just gave you a campaign contribution 3 weeks ago.
Doesn't matter. That matters absolutely not.
Well, it does in the end because if
your major pharmaceutical companies are your only and best shot to solve this problem, and you solve it, you throw money at it to solve it on multiple tracks and multiple fronts, because you do not want to be the guy. It's like not the 9/11 response, Chief. You do not want to be the guy who people can point to and say, you voted against giving additional money to this lab, which could have shut this thing down and given us a vaccine or a cure.
Well, I don't get the St. Louis. What is the process if you're the University of Colorado and you actually are working on something like this? What do you got to do? Go hire some bleep lobbyists to get you in the. I mean, they're never going to find you.
No, you call your senator and you say, look, here's where we are on this. And that senator then goes and calls up FDA or calls up NIH or calls up CDC and says, what do you know about the program going at this place? And this is where your networking is crucial. You know, somebody at CDC will say, well, I'm familiar with that lab, and they're good, but they're not our top priority. We have prioritized the top 10 labs or whatever in the country that have the best chance of doing this. There's a place in North Carolina in Chapel Hill associated with the University of North Carolina. Matt, you can find the link to this article. That's done a ton of research on coronavirus, and they are literally working 18-hour days there now to try to move on this stuff and come up with a vaccine. So we're going to throw money at that. We are also, just so you know, we're going to get information on the labs in Israel and labs in Europe and in Asia, other than the Chinese, that might be working on this stuff, and we'll throw money at them if it looks like it's going to benefit us.
First of all, if we spend a few too much bucks and we end up with a vaccine, I'm not going to complain. You know that. I mean, I understand that it's very hard to, but I also know I'm always tainted by conversations I have with people. Tainted, Lou. Just saying.
I'm sorry about that, Maddie. You just now we go back to Maddie's question about how do I avoid infecting the chief?
Yeah.
He's already tainted.
I'm tainted because there I was, minding my own business. CBOE, first-year board member, and we're at this cocktail party on the Hill. The only time I've ever been on the Hill. And I'm talking to some guy from Reading, Pennsylvania. He's a congressman. Big, but he's bigger than me, 6'5", redheaded guy, big, huge dude. He had been the county sheriff, and there was this big crime, and he like, personally solved the thing, or, you know, like a J. Edgar Hoover went and arrested the guy. So the guy was retiring from the house, and this guy says, well, I'll run. And one of the nice guys I ever met. And he was telling me how he was on, this was the year in like 92, we had the massive floods in the Missouri. You couldn't even tell where the Missouri and the Mississippi were. Remember that, Lou?
Yes.
It was this massive lake. It looked like an inland lake or sea. Anyway, he was on that committee. And he's telling me, you wouldn't believe these bleeps. He didn't use the word bleep. He goes, those guys, he goes, I didn't realize there's a Missouri River in like Vermont or New Hampshire. And we had to give that guy money before he'd vote for the thing. So my question is, Lou, do these guys ever stop doing that? The country is friggin' broke. We're up to $22 trillion. Is there, I don't care if they spend $10 billion or $20 billion, if it's going to do something. Is there the usual, is half of this pork?
I have no idea. I kind of doubt it because this is a very limited expertise kind of thing. And so the construction companies and other, you know, people that are typically with their hands out and our job creators are not in line here. This is not going to be a jobs program. And this is a serious deal. So you're not going to have a bunch of people lining up saying, oh, we can't give this money to this lab because they're not diverse enough. You're not going to get that kind of reaction. This is a no kidding, you know, whatever social experiments we want to conduct in terms of doling out public money, this is not the project to do it on, because mistakes, if they happen, could be substantial. So we're going to go with, you know, people that know what they're doing with an established track record, and we're going to throw money at that. So that immediately cuts down the public corruption angle, because there just aren't very many qualified facilities to do this, number one. And number two, at least I haven't heard any, but there's been some stupidity about the fact that all these scientists are men or less of that and more, you know, have a white, but that was the initial criticism of Trump's action panel on the coronavirus. But there hasn't been very much of that. And because the population of qualified people to talk about it is so limited. So that cuts down on your corruption angle, substantially. And I think nobody wants to be the guy who says, I'm going to hold this bill up. I'm going to hold the funding up for coronavirus unless I get, you know, my bridge built across the Monongahela in Pennsylvania.
So you're saying of all the corruption they do, this is probably on the lower end of that.
It is, because the opportunities, first of all, you're not going to be able to cobble together like you can in minority contracting or construction contracts. You're not going to be able to cobble together a bunch of guys and say, oh, we just formed this company and we're going to get, you know, we're competent to do the work. That doesn't happen with level four labs and this kind of research.
Well, Mike, I guess so, what I'm saying, Lou, is if when you, again, I'm taking a lot of, back up.
Now, manufacture of nitrile gloves, manufacture of respirators, that stuff is wide open for,
yeah,
you know, corruption.
That's what I'm saying.
But the viral research, no.
Well, but again, my two things I should never, well, a bunch of things I should never have taken, economics, one of them. But clearly cost accounting is not one of them. So is one of them. Now, if you've got University of Colorado, I'll be right home to Lou, and they're working on this thing somewhat feverishly, and they've got, you know, some people in the PhD programs, they've got, you know, people that are trying to get their PhDs that are helping out, all kinds of good stuff happening. Now, somehow or another, these guys are all getting paid. Now, we probably want them to work overtime, we probably want them to to work a little harder, and there's some monies there that are being used, clearly, right? But you drop $30 million at them, Lou. I mean, what are they going to do with it? They're already there. It's like when the conjoined twins were here in Chicago, in the Catholic Church. They were in where the hell they were. They were in.
Well, I mean, you're going to rely on that lab to come and say, okay, how much money do you need? We can hire 5 more researchers. We can run, you know, we can use X number of sequencer machines, X number of CRISPR devices, X number of whatever. That's our capacity. Okay, we'll give you the money for that. And then the rest of the money is going to go to Medicaid or Medicare.
Right,
or bolstering long-term care facilities so that they can handle the influx here.
What I'm saying, Lou, is that you see this all through society. But I talk about more with Carl than I do with you.
Let me throw one more thing here. I guarantee you that the airline lobby, the pilots union, and the lobbyists for the major airlines are already lining up and talking to congressmen about infusions of cash to give them relief from the lost business that's going to occur from this thing.
Oh, I would agree with that.
So that's already there's another spot for waste.
Which leads me to a question that I
think I asked last week. How are we going to make China pay for this?
Well, I don't know. But I guess what I'm saying, Luna, is my theme, and I'll be very brief with this, I promise. There's a difference between my idea of what somebody's cost is and sometimes what their idea of their cost is. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And again, I come back to, you know, if you're a guy writing a check for this, you are asking these labs. You've identified, you know, these labs. How are you going to identify them? Well, you're not going to identify them, but CDC is going to identify them. And you look at those labs. Is there a possibility that some senator from you know, Wyoming or Utah or New Mexico or wherever sneaks in facility,
sure. Yeah.
that really shouldn't be getting any money, that is not an effective use of money, but sneaks them in for some extra money? I think that's a possibility.
But the real
money, the real corruption angle, is going to be made on companies that start up with connections to people, that start up right away and go to a congressman or a lobbyist and say, we can make 10 million N95 respirators in a week and have them distributed. And if you give us, you know, $50 million. And a month ago, they didn't exist. But this is all been cobbled together. That's where you're going to see the kind of corruption we're talking about.
Lou, just in general, how we have people in this country, and I don't know.
Let me put it this way. This situation is ripe for a Hunter Biden kind of approach.
Oh, sure. Well, but it's also your former profession. This is a perfect spot for Maddie Weber, the grad student, where we're paying him $10,000 a year in his tuition. All of a sudden, we're billing him out at $500 an hour.
I don't know about that in terms of what a law firm would do. In terms of a lobbyist, maybe.
I'm saying that's exactly
the kind of situation where people like Mr. Biden and some other folks would come swooping in saying, I'm well connected and we can help you with whatever.
That's the whole story in Washington. It's where's mine? It's the Chicago motto, where's mine? But what I'm saying is, are we going to, what I don't want to do, and I don't want to do it any time, not just this, I don't want to swoop in and have in some university bill out grad students' work at $300 an hour when I'm not paying them anything.
I think that's a luxury that is nice to talk about, but I don't think that's a luxury we can afford, or we will afford right now.
Okay, well, now let's drop back into, we're supposed to be, I don't know, you, I don't know if you agree with this or whatever, but I don't, but we are in a state of war. We have been for half of my lifetime now, for God's sake. Well, we're never going to get out. Well, how is it in a state of war that stealing from the government is a national sport?
You're not going to get any argument from me. I mean, I've said on the program many times when I get really frustrated, and I mean, I have to get really frustrated, sometimes I long for the Soviet justice system.
You know what, Lou?
You know, if they steal, if you steal, in the Soviet Union, if you were involved and you weren't politically connected, if you were a public involved in public corruption, then they shoot you. This guy, and let me throw this into a more direct link to what we've been talking about. There's a guy in New Hampshire who had been identified as corona positive, okay? The first case. The New Hampshire health authorities said, you are quarantined. Do not come out of your house, okay? You're not to go associate with other people. You're to take these following protective measures. The next day, I think it was, the guy goes to a private business party, business event, and infects, you know, who knows how many people. And I'm going, are you kidding me? That guy ought to be in jail. In handcuffs somewhere, or better yet, given it's New Hampshire, you ought to be in the stocks on the public, on the public square.
You used to accuse Mr.
Care that it's March.
You used to accuse Mr. Weber of being a moral relativist. You need to. You spend too much time in Europe and too much time in Colorado. You got to come back to Chicago. Everybody gets to define what's right and wrong on their own now. You don't
well,
pay attention.
Well, I've been following the Kim Fox situation. That's pretty interesting.
You don't have a parent or you don't have a nun saying, no, that's wrong, smack. I'm not saying you should be beating up on people, but there's no right and wrong here. If somebody in front of you prevents you from going through on the green, say it's an Uber guy letting somebody out, that red now becomes, it's okay if you go through because you should have gotten through on the green. This guy is not going to listen to anybody tell him. Is it okay for him to go to that party? Yeah, he wants to go to the party. They don't care, Lou. I mean, it has nothing to do with. I mean, I last week we had somebody call or tweet in. You know, Chief, you keep ranting and raving about Sherman Act and things like that, and what's the solution? I said, well, I'll tell you what the solution is, and I would not want to be the guy to do it. I said, you if drop me into the as a cockroach in the Oval Office. First thing I'm going to do is get some guy from the Justice Department. I'm going to say, hey, look, I want you to analyze the top 100 mergers last year where people bought up generic drug companies and essentially raised the prices. Guys like Squishy and a few other people. I said, give me the 25 most egregious cases. One that the minute you look at the price the day before and the day after and you read the Sherman Act, there's no debate that why I did what I'm going to do. In the next board meeting, you walk in with 15 guys, you handcuff them all, and you walk them out of there and you charge them all with felonies. That's what you have to do.
You and I have talked about this. I absolutely agree. I mean, in terms of enforcing these kinds of things, people have to go to jail. I agree.
I mean, whether it's all money, whether they're in jail, I don't know, you need some 70-year-old board guy sitting in jail somewhere. But if it's all money, if you take it out of his hide money-wise, that's fine with me, too. But the point is, if you're not willing to do any of this stuff, and we're seeing this in Chicago, hey, all of a sudden now half the people in county jail are innocent. I'm sure there's a few that are, and I don't like the way the bail works. I mean, that is a bad thing. But the fact is, most of these people in there, I think, are not in there for the first time. I'm just saying, Lou, the whole world's not just innocent. You don't get to do whatever you feel like doing because other people have to hang around you. Maybe if this thing knocks off,
you do in California, and I'll call on Maddie to uplink the video of those guys just walking into stores and stealing stuff, and then walking out because they know the police won't arrest them.
Yeah. What's I'm saying, but
they pick up. I think it's if you steal less than $750, it's a no arrest misdemeanor. So these guys walk in and they look at the price on this. They're like, I'm up to about $725. I'll stop here.
But what one of your guys, Lou, you were around at the time, was it Jefferson or Madison or one of those dudes that said this Constitution isn't worth squat if there's no religion or morals to go with it. I mean, if you look and see that it's okay to steal $250 and you think it's okay. That's the problem. If you don't realize, hey, it's wrong to steal no matter what. It's not even if it's 30 cents. That's what's supposed to hold people back.
I agree. We used to think that character was really crucial in terms of our politicians because no matter what we thought about their policies, it was their character that was going to drive their decision making when things really mattered. When the 3 a.m. phone call comes in, to quote Mrs. Clinton in her commercial. And I'm not sure we do anymore.
Well,
I think where it's much more of a what's in it for me kind of thing.
Well, I had this teacher one time, I think it might have been in high school, and the brothers were always good on opining on a lot of wild stuff, but one of the guys was kind of a behavioral sort of dude when he was teaching sociology, whatever he was teaching. He says, you know, the criminal justice system is designed for dealing with the outlier. You know, if there's one murder a year, you catch the guy, you know, whatever, whether you execute him or you don't. He was not an execute kind of guy, but he says, you can put that dude in jail. But he says, if the entire society, if 10 or 20% of the people think it's okay to steal, there's no criminal justice system on earth that can deal with that.
Well, no. I mean, witness the 55 mile an hour speed limit.
Yeah.
When that was first introduced, nobody followed that. And it became very, very quickly apparent that the police could not enforce the 55 mile an hour speed limit because 50% to 60% of the population just said, well, I'm not following that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Lou, I will challenge you with that. If you would have driven in Ohio any one of those times at 62 plus, you do not make it across the state without a ticket.
Not 55.
Well, what I'm saying, they gave you a few. But I mean,
do you know what limit means?
I get that part. But I also know, but I'm saying people would be going, everybody knows, well, you think you get five over before they'll pull you over. Ohio. You should have seen this guy. Audrey and I are driving to see my extended family in Columbus, and I'm on Route 30, and the thing's 55, and I'm going 60. All of a sudden, this dude pulls up behind me, and I slow down. Because I know this stretch is danger. And the guy's behind me, like, for 10 minutes. I know he's checking me all out. He pulls up next to me. The guy makes me look like a kid. He's huge. And, just looks at me, starts shaking his head, and speeds off. Like another disgusting old white person can't read the friggin' sign. But I mean, Lou, some places are serious about this. Illinois is not. You know, anyway,
nobody. I have yet to see anybody given a ticket for going 56 miles an hour.
I agree with you, but I'm saying in Ohio, don't push 60. Anyway,
They do not enforce that speed limit. And one of the great comedy routines that I've heard, and I can't remember who does it. Talks about the fact that whatever the speed limit is, it's whatever the cop on that stretch of road that day decides to enforce.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Everybody knows it's not 55 though.
I would just take the guys over 55. I would just take the guys over 75 and impound the thing. All right, Lou, take care of yourself, buddy. SP futures up 61. I'm sorry, down 61. Yesterday was the other way. Today we're down. NASDAQ futures down 174. Be right back, Mr. Fari Hamzy.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Mr. Matt Weber. Mr. Ferry Hans, he with us. S&P Futures down 63. These are becoming almost like expected, which is really crazy. NASDAQ Futures up down 177. This is a 2% move. Ferry, where do we go? We go 18 months without a 1% move? Now we get like 2 and 3 and 4% every day. What is going on, my friend? Are you here? Do we not have Ferry, Matt?
Well, he's put up. We must have lost him. I'll call him back.
All right, we'll get him back in a second. Just for a review, Apple down 655, Boeing 661, and they're down to 276. Home Depot down 5, United Health down 467, Travelers down 353.
Hello, Murray.
There you are, bud. How are you?
I'm good. You couldn't hear me, huh?
No, couldn't hear you.
Well, I heard your question. The answer is, I think the top 7 or 8 biggest drops by points, not by percentage, is under Trump. So now we're in this mode of up and down. For the record, we went short last night. We've been saying there's a dead cat bounce coming, and we've got to take advantage of it. I don't know where we are. I just got to my desk. 1 second.
Well, I was thinking yesterday that
for the day.
I was thinking yesterday with Biden winning all these things, and I'm trying not to be.
Try not to be what?
I'm trying not to be cynical, but.
You're beyond that point.
I'm beyond that point. Yeah.
You know that. Come on.
I'm thinking that either one of those guys gets in, Biden or Trump, which looks like one of them.
Oh. Okay. Let's come back here. My guy was Bloomberg, and he's not going to make it. I understand that. The problem is we don't know how to deal with these smart guys, okay? They're awkward. In a one-on-one setting, so in front of people. So, anyhow. But Biden's not my guy, but I'm definitely going to vote for Trump. I've had enough of this incompetence and low IQ.
I would agree with that, but what I'm saying is...
But I'm hoping that, what do you call it? The market is saying, look, the moment he resigned, or not resigned, he pulled out of the race, Bloomberg did, instantaneously we went up 300 points. We ended up today for 1,200 and some points, right? 1,173, almost 1,200 points.
Yeah.
The range was incredible.
Well, I'm not...
And given especially where it came from, the issue is the vibration. If you look at Sigma channels, where it came from was huge. You would expect a move like this at the very, very bottom tick. Hits the bottom tick, turns around, goes up. This was a solid day. If you look at what I mean by solid day, there was very little wick in it. It was all solid. If you look at candlestick, the open and the close matched high and low. Almost to a tick, okay? Almost to a few couple of bucks. And in $1,200, that's huge. So, I think we're over, and we're at 50%, I believe, retracement, approximately. So, I'm thinking that we were done here. We should pull back down. To be exact with you, we're just a tad over, we were 18 handles above the S&P was, 50% retracement. If you look at it from Fibonacci standpoint. So we've done this mission. Here's the issues. Thousands of COVID-19 will be reported. We're under testing. Thousands, okay, from what I'm hearing. And most of these sources are investment bankers in biotech. They deal with doctors. I think they know what they're talking about on this issue. And Trump has been frozen because he didn't know how to react to it when he was told the cases are going to be huge. So I suspect this thing, I mean, there's some models. Let me say this. There's some models that are showing at pharma that 40 to 70% will be inflicted.
Yeah, and I was getting some stuff from people yesterday saying that.
Seven-digit death.
I was thinking, I was reading some stuff yesterday where people were saying we're Wuhan on December 1st.
Well, you should expect the Chinese to lie to us. That's not
sure.
New. And, but the earliest time we could have something working that's it's meaningful and vaccine-wise, it'll be about September or October. Guess what? In half of U.S., that's the beginning of a flu season again.
Right. Well, Farhi, yeah,
so I suspect this to continue. I don't think the market is going to really bounce. I mean, I'm sorry, bottom out, I should say this. We're going to have several bounces. I don't think it's going to be bottom out until we have a vaccine that shows it's working. So I suspect high volatility and nervousness. Listen, wait until we get through earnings season. It hasn't come yet. We got another month to go. Everywhere is going to shave off. It's got CYA in their MDA, Management Discussion Analysis. You call it conference call. From an SEC point of view, it's called MDA. When the MDA sessions come after the earnings, they're going to CYA themselves. Why? Even if there's nothing wrong with it, this is their excuse. Everybody's going to shave it down, and S&P is overpriced. What I'm suspecting will probably cross 20,000 very soon. The issue is, do we get through 16,000 or not? Why 16,000? That would erase Trump.
Yeah.
That's where he came in. October of 2016, he was at 16,000. Go to your charts.
Well,
it'll be a very interesting and nervous Grumpino as we get into like middle of summer.
Well, I would agree. For yesterday's rally, I was looking at it as part of the political spectrum. I mean, as you know, I mean, I'm not telling you anything. There's all kinds of different levels to look at what's going on in the world, and especially in the market, right? I mean, you're looking, if you look at the political piece, and again, Carl somehow has trained me to look at all these big numbers on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the Biden, I'm not saying this is a fait accompli, but if you're looking at the mm-hmm. Biden-Trump election, okay, what you're really talking about is either one is a continuation of the last 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
from an econ cycle standpoint, yeah. I agree with you.
So,
but I don't agree with policies.
No. Just listen to me for a second. I mean, in the words of our buddy Dr. J, he goes, who's claims he's a Republican? Who the hell knows?
Who's a Trumpkin?
Well, the wins.
Put your disclaimer out there.
He's the Claude Rains, The winds are blowing from Vichy up with Vichy type of thing. But I don't know. Actually, Jen, I'm not going to criticize this. But
I didn't say that. You said it.
Yeah. Okay. But
for the record, guys, I didn't say it.
But you know what? If I got some big law firm or lobbying firm, I'm rolling who's there too, right? I mean, it's not like it's, my point is, as Jen has said for a million times, the one percenters never did better than under Obama.
Clinton. Look at the market moves have been the strongest as a percent under Democrats. That's not enough for me to change.
I'm just looking at this.
I'm not a Trumpkin. I have extra digits in my IQ.
I
won't qualify to be a Trumpkin.
I'm looking at this just analytically. What I'm saying is, the 1% that's pulling away from the pack in the last 12 years has been tremendous. All the the various and sundry policies that came out of 2008, 2009. We're not going to save the homeowners. We're just going to save the banks. All those kinds of things have, and we're talking about the Federal Reserve dropping the rate down here where savers don't make squat. Big companies, big companies can borrow real cheap. Other people can't. And oh, by the way, the people who manage to get over to Europe don't pay any income taxes. All that's been a 12-year. So the chances of any big pharmaceutical company, despite all the lip smacking that's going on, of any of those guys getting spanked or any chance of prices coming down or anything like that in the next 4 years under either one of these old farts is not going to happen. So if you're, if you're a shareholder in Merck or in Pfizer or in Google or in Microsoft and you're worried about any kind of antitrust, either Biden or Trump puts you in at least another 4 years out, at least, with anything happening like that, unless it comes out of Europe, because they're the only ones with any stones, in my opinion. So, so I mean, the Biden Tuesday takes all those risks off the table for any firm that might think there was any. All the stuff in Facebook, it ain't going to happen. Either one of those guys. None of them, either one of them have the stones or the time to break, to do anything to Facebook.
That's why there's only one vote for change.
Yeah.
Only one.
Well, I'm not so sure Bernie could pull it off either.
I'm not sure he can either, Bernie's but I know these guys won't.
He's not going to elect it. No.
Right, but I'm not saying who you should vote for, Matty. I'm just saying that those two people, if I look at the economics...
There's only
the
one option if you want to take on the big corporations. There is one option.
Okay, and then one guy's...
Matt, I don't disagree with you, but he's not electable.
So. You might be right about that. You might be right about that.
We'll see. And I guess. Listen, Matt, I've got an opinion. You got one. The chief has one. You know what? Opinions are a dime a dozen. We all have opinions, but that's my opinion. That's
right. You know, no, I get that. I'm just saying when I hear people complain about big corporations and I hear people complain about, you know, the tax cuts for the rich and the wage gap and all this stuff, student loan pricing, there's only one option to vote for if you actually care about trying to change that stuff.
Except,
there's one.
There's only, except for one thing, Matty. Think back. Now, now that you're old and mature, and about to be married, and I'll get one more decision out of you before you, well, you can still make one. Think back. What did Obama run on? He was going to change all this crap.
He wasn't going to change anything from the big corporations.
Now he was going to change Washington as usual.
And he changed America probably more than any president in the last 30 years.
Okay, but he started that way. Remember the change for the logo?
He was going
to
go.
Once we got into late summer, we got to September, the issue was, can we survive this or not?
Okay,
so in a way, I don't blame Obama.
I'm not,
although I disagreed with most of his policies, but he had no other choice. It was better than that crazy John McCain who said, "Oh, I'll stop my campaign. I'll go watch and see what I can do."
Okay,
from a bottom class of Annapolis,
just listen to me,
economy?
Gentlemen. Listen to me for a second. What I'm saying is, people voted for a change in Washington with Obama. They got nothing. All right. And then
they got 12 years of economic prosperity after the worst financial crash in 90 years.
Okay, in terms of the little guy making out better than before under Bush, they got nothing.
You're right about that.
And then all of a sudden, we got a guy running from the outside, is way outside. Nobody likes his personality, but the thought was if anybody could take on the swamp, it would be him because he's fearless.
But he wouldn't want to take it. He is the swamp. But he is a silver spoon rich guy.
Give him a break in the sense that the first thing he did was try to take on Boeing. He got slapped back. He tried to do something on the healthcare stuff, whether it was a good idea, bad idea. He got slapped back. Neither one of those guys was effective at all. And now we got another old yelling guy coming at us saying he's going to change everything. And people are going, I've heard this story
twice. But he's a guy that actually for the last 40 years has voted against all of that stuff, voted against unnecessary wars in Iraq. The only guy that voted against Iraq.
Let me help you, Manny.
Actually has a track record. He's not Obama that was a community organizer.
All right, there's three kinds of people in this world.
Good point.
You know, I'm saying if you sit there and you see us going to some crummy war, right, you can sit there and you can vote against it.
Which I would every time.
Okay, you would. So what? You didn't win. It's 99 to 1. What are you? You're the pimple on the ass of the elephant. Now, the question is,
I'd much rather be the one that stood up and said this is a bad idea.
As you know my personality, I'd have been with you. The difference is you have to be able to make that one into a 10, into a 20, and have a few beers with people for 8 weeks in a row and say, this is really a horrible idea. You've got to be able, he's shown no ability to do that.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think that's because he refused to be part of either party.
The reason why...
And so they outcast him because he was an independent.
The reason why people...
But you've always said you wanted an independent. I want an independent.
I understand what I'm saying.
Trump is a Fox and Friends right winger. He claims to be an independent. He's not.
What I'm saying, I've listened, I've watched this.
Well, first of all, for Matty, there's an issue with Trump. Trump is totally incompetent. He can't understand anything. He doesn't understand finance.
Right, that's
a
problem.
For God's sake, what kind of a real estate developer are you? Can't even understand finance.
Well,
we all agree with that.
I don't expect him to understand biotech.
Whoa,
he doesn't even understand finance.
Don't ever.
He puts his head into military and acquisitions and Boeing. It's way over his head. Just read the books
of all the
people who work for him. All have the same theme. You read on that. He's an idiot.
IQ is in there.
He can't even concentrate.
Stop for a second.
Fari's right about all that, by the way.
No, he's not. Because
I'm not right.
No, you're not right.
Those are facts.
Don't confuse intelligence like you have in certain areas with a skill set that you don't. I mean, the people that
he's a politician as a skill set, but he lies and he cheats all the time.
But in his mind,
his handshake is not worth nothing.
That part I get. I'm the one. I mean, I'll
listen. How many people he hired said they were so good people up to the day he fired them. He lied about it.
Fari, the dude has real estate. He knows lower interest rates are good for him.
I realize
it's not about you. It's about him.
But all of his properties are in trouble.
I get
people
that.
People are taking their names off the building because they want to be associated with him. They really don't own it. He's licensing guy.
Don't assume.
Look at it. He's basically licensed. He hasn't owned or managed much. And the ones that he's doing, look at Doral. Look at the P&L on Doral. He hides his grades, he hides his taxes. What does it tell you? What kind of IQ do you need to understand this guy's a scam?
You know, that's not where we're talking.
I rest my case.
We're arguing on two different points of the chessboard.
I'm wondering why we are even arguing that now.
Well, we're not arguing. What we're arguing is...
He got impeached. Hello? He doesn't even understand the Constitution. He hasn't read it.
Listen,
wait a second. Let me say something to you. I am a citizen by choice. You know why? I was 10-year-old when I read the Constitution. My dad was here at Maxwell Air Force Base for SOS training, squadron officer training, and he bought a copy because I knew I love U.S. I read it. I had it in my backpack. People make fun of me. I memorized all the 56 capitals. He would test me. Arkansas. Boom. Here's the answer. Little Rock. Okay? I was 10 years old. I came here. I became a citizen by choice. You guys are citizens by default. You have no choice. Okay? This Constitution is an experiment that outlived and will outlive Magna Carta. This is something totally different.
We hope.
Okay? But we have to respect it. Otherwise, this country is nothing without the Constitution. And this guy took the oath from the day one he's broken. That's why he got impeached. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't even understand the law. He's got all these advisors, all these generals and big names. I'm going to have first-class people. What happened to them? They all left. Because they understood how hollow he is.
Why are
we falling for this guy?
You know what else we're finding out, Fari?
Yes, sir.
This is the scary part. Now, first of all, I think if I gave you an IQ / lie test, you don't agree with everything you just said. But that's not the point. The point is, the man is great at getting. He has a skill set. Why aren't we in the Oval Office if we're so much smarter than him?
Because we don't want to stoop that low. He's lying and cheating.
I'm just saying,
he's changing everything. The other day at the meeting with the biotech people, he says, "Why don't we try giving him the regular flu virus?
Would you get
a vaccine?
Get on my get on my chessboard for a second, will you?" What I'm saying is you talk about. We talked about earlier with Lou. I don't know if you listened in or not. Probably not. We talked about.
I came on the very end.
Okay, but if there's no morals, there's no Constitution. Because the Constitution is not strong enough to deal with, out of 300 million people, 200 million that are crooks. It's not. So what he and a few of the other people in the last 12 years have told us is a lot of what went on in Washington is not, quote, in the Constitution. It's not even written anywhere. It's not even a rule. It's all what decent people maybe used to do. What he's telling you, when all these other people talk about their tax returns, all he's telling you is he goes, "Hey, is there a law that says I have to do that?" And the answer is no. And he goes, "Screw you, people. I'm not doing it." And you know what?
No, I realize that. I'm not saying he's breaking the law there. I'm saying he is, but he broke the law when he broke the Constitution.
Okay,
and that's why he's got impeached those articles.
All right, what I'm saying is...
But I'm saying that he says, I'm under audit. When the audit's done, I'll let you know. There's no audit.
There's no record that there's any audit. I ever bumped up.
He doesn't produce documents, doesn't produce witnesses.
You have no fact witnesses. I understand, we're talking at different levels. What I'm saying is...
It's the intent. Listen, where I come from, it's not just the law. It's also your intent. You may not break the law, but you have a bad intent.
When my education...
Let me finish. Zoroaster was the, what do you call it? The messenger from universe... back 33 centuries ago. He said three things. Athornik, Pedornik, Kendornik. Means have good intent, speak well with people, and wish everybody what you want to wish for yourself.
Well, sure. Everybody knows that. Well, okay. Everybody should know that.
You don't need the Quran. You don't need the Torah. You don't need the Bible to tell you. Those are traits that will last you several thousand years as long as you stick to it. That was Zoroaster, okay? Zoroaster was the religion of Iran before the Arabs came and took over us by force, much like what ISIS did, all right? So my dad was Zoroastrian by practice, okay? And I've got the pictures and all that around. Just to remind me, those are the deeds that we have to watch for. This guy does not pass that test.
He has no good intent.
He lies and cheats and says anything. And also... Come on, is it Adderall doing this? I don't know. I'm not trying to prosecute him. It's beyond that. But I'm hoping, here's what I'm hoping, let me conclude, that whoever is running on the other side, hopefully it's Biden, because I think Biden has a better chance of survival than Bernie if we get a surge in people showing up to vote. That's what we lost last time, 80,000 votes.
Right.
If we get a surge in the battleground states, Putin can't put him back into power again. He's done. And when he's done, on the 21st, they're going to serve him with a paperwork, the things that he's broken, at least at a state level, and they'll fill him in an orange jumpsuit that day. And that's what's going to happen, and he deserves that.
Well, whatever. What I'm saying, it's not just him, Fari. It's when things start to...
I agree with you.
What he has shown me, and really horribly, is that a lot of things that I thought were the way people behaved in Washington, he's just saying, I'm not doing that, and there's no fallback position.
The people who are supposed to keep him in the rails also either walked out or too scared after coming up for the election, like Lindsey Graham or Moscow Mitch. These guys should be court-martialed. I'm sorry, they should be shot first, court-martial later.
These people have forgotten why.
They've broken their own oath to the Constitution.
Sorry, let me back off just a little bit and just talk about principle here and take Trump out of it, because I know he riles you somewhat. I've been doing this show.
I'm angry.
Yeah,
of course I'm angry.
I know, but you know I've been doing this show for a while. Before that, Dr. J and I were on the score. The biggest debate I get from people is when I say... The people who put their money overseas with this double Dutch sandwich Irish crap, and essentially took the income and went to a place where there was no business from the place that had the business, is immoral. It's wrong. It didn't pass the smell test.
Like Intel and Apple.
Yeah, in Ireland. Well, Starbucks is the biggest one. They had how many Starbucks in London? I mean, it doesn't.
True.
The biggest arguments I would get from everybody, Dr. J, everybody down the line. Was I'm an idiot? The law does not say that it's not illegal. It was never. But then, whenever I challenge them, say, find me the spot in the tax code that says you can have all your business in Chicago and have a little office in Indiana, and that's where all your income. Show me the tax code where that's quote legal, and then it becomes well, it's not illegal, which is another argument. So, you know, which is totally another argument. So the fact is...
Again, back to what I said, intent, you know.
But I mean, when I was young, people told me that if you were a representative or a senator, all your stuff had to be in a blind trust. Then Cheney, who probably wasn't the first, becomes vice president and said, screw you guys, I'm not going to have a blind trust.
This is my stuff. I'm not letting someone else watch it. So now all of a sudden, these guys do whatever they want. They can trade ahead of stuff. God, what do you think these guys have made in the last 8 months if they paid attention to what they were doing and traded ahead of it, for God's sake? I mean, yeah. Now the thing to me has become, are there any morals whatsoever? But I'll tell you where this started for me, my upbringing was, and that's why I love the trading floor. Everybody was on the same page. And all of a sudden, one guy's telling me, hey, in this one particular pit, some guy's gonna know what the earnings are beforehand. And I go, how the hell is he gonna do that? Well, he works for this firm, and the guy who was the president of the firm was the roommate of some guy in one of those stupid, I'm not gonna say they're stupid, but I just did, boarding schools where, they paddle you every night kind of thing. And he goes, why do you think somebody does that? They go there because the guy who's the head of IBM calls that guy up and says, here's the earnings. That's why you put up with that crap, is all of a sudden you're in with the in crowd, as the song used to say. I mean,
that's what I told my dad. Why do you think I'm going to Princeton, not Annapolis? Because, this is one of the schools that controls this country.
Yeah.
I want to be part of them early on.
Yeah, so their morality level.
It was all gibberish to him. He says, what? I said, yeah, Dad. Yeah, you got to follow. What's going on? This is what you want to do. Either you in or you out.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And then,
remember Gecko? That's what Gecko said.
Yeah.
Either you in or you out. You can make your choice.
I mean, even Bernie, the Eddie likes, and everybody's got this honest thing. What about the book issue with him? He buys the books from himself with his campaign funds, and all the rest of these idiots are putting themselves together as if they spend, bazillion dollars on,
Sanders has done that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's what people have been sending me.
That sounds
more like Trump.
Yes. No, but you know,
he bought the books of his son.
But you know what?
Campaign bought his books, the son's book. So the numbers are higher on the, on Amazon. Who wants to read what Trump Jr. has to say?
All right,
give me a break.
Okay, we only have 30 seconds.
Watch him on Saturday Night Live.
You know what the other somebody? Listen to me for a second. You know what some of the other guys have done? When they buy ads?
What?
They buy ads. They set up a marketing facility for like their wife, and they take the 20%.
That's wrong too.
Yeah, it's
wrong.
Sure it is. They'll say, "What are you talking about? Why should I have to give that to another agency? Why can't my wife be the agency?" SP Futures down on 74. That's low. Dow down 202. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Thank you for it.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatory laboratories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Load on base, Stocks and Jacks. Tom Tomali, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. Mr. David Animal in a second. S&P futures down 74. And the futures down 201. This is after yesterday's Dow futures down 609. So let's contrast this with yesterday. S&P futures were up 126, so we're 60% down below that. Dow, we're probably half. NASDAQ, we are roughly a little less than two-thirds, so not exactly a Fibonacci move, whoever the hell he was. I'm not a big chart guy, but it's back and forth, back and forth. DAX down 211, it's 1.7%. FTSE down 124, 1.8%. CAC around down 108, 2%. We're in Asia. These guys obviously closed before all this stuff started happening here. Nikkei up 229, 1%. Shanghai up 62%. Hang Seng up 545, that's 2%. But the FXI here, which is the Chinese ETF, is only up 12 cents, so obviously it's not doing as well as the Chinese stuff did earlier. Bonds, minus 0.9, or 0.95. Unreal. 10-year Bund, minus 0.65. Japan, minus 0.10. Oil, down 11 cents, 46.67. Brent, $50.87, down 26 cents. Natural gas, 181, going nowhere. RBOB, 155. Gold, up 12.80 to 16.55. Silver, up 8 cents. 1733. Silver's not come back. Silver's in this odd range here. If you look at these, gold flying up, silver kind of back and forth, back and forth. Copper, 258. So copper is basically on its ass. So silver is kind of a half industrial, half precious. So it's kind of wobbling between gold and copper, which is kind of odd. Individual stocks, I've got Apple down 8 now. We got Boeing down 796. It's pretty close to 8. Goldman Sachs down 673. For some reason, that's David. Goldman Sachs, whack, whack. Travelers down 350. McDonald's down 4. Well, if that's ask Mitty Weber when he's done with Traffic Weather Sports. How's this all going to affect McDonald's? They got to be wiping stuff down every time somebody walks in the door. Mitty, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have traffic building steadily on the Edens and Kennedy, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Same for the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Been pretty quiet on the accident front all morning. No stalls or fires or accidents to report on any of the area expressways, roadways, or tollways at this hour. Looks like we, only thing on the screen here, actually, it just went away. So, no accidents to report. Here we go. We have one thing that just popped up. It's in the North Shore, right off the Tri-State, southbound, just before Bradley Road. There's a crash that's been moved to the left shoulder. So expect some delays navigating around that on the Tri-State Tollway southbound.
just before Bradley Row. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, some sunshine early, then clouds rolling in later. We will reach a very windy high of 50 degrees, and then temperatures will drop overnight tonight. A much colder day tomorrow with a high in the mid-30s and wind chills in the low 20s. Then we warm back up on Saturday and Sunday as we'll be in the 50s and could touch the 60s on Sunday. So looking forward to that. Right now it is mostly clear and 38 degrees downtown, going up to a cloudy high of 50. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 84 today. Right now it's clear and 52. In sports, Bulls lost at Minnesota 115-108. Suns were off. Blackhawks were off as well. They'll look for their fourth straight win tonight at the UC as Edmonton comes to town. That's a 7:30 Central Time puck drop. Coyotes doubled up the Canucks last night, 4-2. College hoops, Notre Dame blew a 7-point halftime lead and fell at home to Florida State, 73-71. Northwestern was blown out up in Madison, losing to Wisconsin, 63-48.
So was that place able to locate the powder blue tuxes with the ruffled shirts?
What place?
Place where you guys got your tuxes.
We probably could have done that, but well, we didn't.
I thought you did. You know? The ruffled shirt I could see you guys in.
The ruffled shirt, definitely not. The powder blue would probably look pretty sweet, but didn't do it.
Didn't do that? Yeah. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
What, it's hard for me to even tell. We're up and down and whether we're, these moves. Remember the whole year and a half we sat here looking for a 1% move and now we get them. I'm going to say tonight The spider, I'll look here before I opine, because we started the day. I'm going to say that the straddle for tonight is like 2% from last night.
I think they said something on the order of 8 of the last 11 days or something. The Dow futures, including the all sessions overnight, have moved 1,000 points 8 of the last 11 sessions.
I'm going to say that the straddle went out last night roughly somewhere between 8 and 8.50. It's hard to tell before the opening, and which would be 2.5%. That's and the question is, will it be enough? I don't know. You know, it's this is sort of crazy. I mean, yesterday
we wanted the volatility when the VIX was, you know, 8 to 11 or even at the 6-month range to 16, you know, but really mostly around 11 or 12. We wanted the volatility, at 30, 33. It's got a shook a little.
Yeah.
Well we've seen it before.
I've got it higher than that now. I got it at 37. It's up 5 this morning.
Well, it hit the other day. Was it Friday or Monday? It hit a high of 49.
Yeah. It's and I guess it's probably time for me to give my condensed VIX lecture. Don't assume that the VIX is like a regular stock. It's
no,
not.
No.
It is a average of going out a few months in the SPX, used to be the OEX, what the implied volatilities are. But a stock,
right.
If you've got, you know, PTI securities, and it's trading for 30, even though we're not public, if it was trading for 30, you'd say, well, gee, these guys make X per year. The 30 is an okay price. Boy, if they're making X per year and it went down to 20 somehow with a coronavirus scare, it's a buy. But if it got to 60... I don't know who the fool is paying 60 for that place. I'd probably love it, but you know what I'm saying, David, but VIX is not like that. VIX is
and it doesn't chart well.
No.
It really doesn't. One would have thought when you spend all those months between 11 and 16, once it broke, quote unquote, broke out to like 18 and a half or whatever, you thought, you know, geez, the next retracement to 15, 16, I'm a buyer. So what did it do? It went to 12, and then it went to 20. It failed to hold the breakout, and then it took it back and broke out again. So I would not at all say, hey, and I'm a technician by, you know, experience and trade, and I would say that would be one I would not rely on the chart.
Well,
especially as you pointed out, because it's factoring in, you know, future volatility and futures and everything else, it does not chart well at all.
But what I'm saying is the Cliff Notes version, actually there is no Cliff Notes version of this because it's a very complicated topic. As a guy who went through the 87 crash, the world's coming to you for insurance, all right? Put insurance is what drives the I mean, it could be the call side, but usually it's the put side. They're coming to you for insurance. And the trading floor, there were 350 people in that pit.
and all the firms that traded in and out of there and so forth. So there's, you know, a lot of people in the market. But when the entire world says, we're gonna, you know, this market looks like it's going to the crapo, we want you to sell us insurance. You sell it at increasing prices, and then you end up, because you can buy more. In other words, I'll sell you the January put because I can buy the February put. Okay, so, and then, because you're going to do some on your own, but basically, you know, TPH, which is my acronym in the OEX pit, was not about to insure AIG and the market going down. It wasn't happening. So you end up doing what you can do until finally you say, I can be 50 put short or 100 put short or 200, depending on how big your account was. But there's going to come a number where you just sold something to somebody at $5 and he says, I'll pay 10. And you say, I don't care if you pay 110. I can't sell you anymore. And right. Now we have three, four people essentially in the market with all the retail and institutional money behind them that are essentially in the market. And what happens is if you can go, it might be a huge struggle to go, like David says, from 11 to 15 because people are dying to sell that stuff because 15 is high, right? And nothing's going on in the world. And 15 to 20, more people want to sell it. But when you get to 35, people might be sold out. The difference between 35 and like 80 might be between now and 10 o'clock because I've seen it happen. Not for a long time.
Yeah, we saw people forget. Yeah. But we did see a couple times, I think, in early 18, you know, after the rate hikes and whatever. We did see it touch 80.
And it just means nobody will sell you anything. Right. I mean, it's like right now, I'm not so sure, although thank God this thing is not being shown to be deadly, I'm not so sure people are anxious to sell you life insurance right now. As anxious as they were 6 months ago, right?
It depends where they can lay it off.
Well, how do you lay off life insurance? Well, there are other life insurance companies.
They do.
Yeah.
They have reinsurance. There's Munich Re, there's Swiss Re, Lloyd's of London does take some. No, you can lay that off.
Well, but I'm saying at some point you reach the end of the pipe. Okay, and the OEX...
No question. Yeah. Sooner or later, you go to Munich Re, and Munich Re says, we're not writing anymore.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, you can lay off, but even with the spread, we're not giving it to you.
Yeah, you know, hey, we're not insuring your tanker. There's a war on you, idiot. Right? So, I mean, but we're not...
Hey,
we're,
and that's the other side. You know, when the stuff happened with Iran and threats to block the Straits of Hormuz and whatever, just what you're saying, insurance on tankers getting through or whatever... It reached a point when you had crude oil at $140 a barrel, the offsets weren't there.
Well, we talked on Monday, David, about where's the first places that are going to need some help if this keeps up. Because obviously the debt load, like you and I have been talking about for forever, somewhere is going to intersect with the economy going down. Worldwide, maybe not here yet, but worldwide. I mean, Lou was already talking about In his mind, or maybe he knows for sure and just didn't tell us, every airline lobbyist in the world is already talking to Congress about how much longer this is going before.
And it's been mentioned. Yeah, subsidize us because, you know, hey, we got half full planes, some empty, we're canceling routes, and you want the mail and packages to go through, true, give us some money.
What do you think the...
How about cruise lines?
Oh,
want to be involved there?
Oh, God. Well, what's with the story?
I do not own a share in full disclosure.
Matty, Google the one that's just docked in San Francisco. I know they claim a bunch of people are exposed. What are they doing with that one? I just heard it briefly before you came down this morning. These cruise ships are kind of in trouble. But in general, David, it's hard.
Real quick, a cruise ship linked to the first death from coronavirus in California is being held off the coast of San Francisco with 21 people on board reporting possible symptoms.
Now, do you hope for nice weather, or do you want to be like in a storm off there?
Well, you want the warmer, the better. Supposedly, Singapore and I forget where else, Indonesia, you know, the South Pacific, where you had cases, it's 85 degrees, and the number of suspected cases has fallen off a cliff because of the real hot weather.
Well, I have a really simple question. I don't know what the weather is in San Francisco, but Why can't you pull in the bay? The bay's big enough for a...
They're in the bay.
Oh, okay. Well, they're not,
what do you think they were?
They're like hanging around out in the Pacific. Don't even come close. No. So they're in the bay. All right,
San Francisco doesn't really touch the Pacific.
What do you think the other side of the Golden Gate is?
I mean, it does, but it's mostly on the bay.
I know. I made it. I took it to mean they weren't even letting them pull into the bay. Obviously, they've let... Okay, that makes sense. They're in the bay. Fair enough. Because I was worried about whether there's a big storm out there. These guys are riding it out. Now, the question is, and this is a serious question, because it happened to you, Maddie, and, you know, who knows how many honeymoons you're going to have. If you're on a ship and it's all of a sudden on the ship, are you better off hanging in your room, getting your stuff delivered to you, or are you better off going down to the bar?
I would always go down to the bar.
I would too.
Hey, alcohol should kill it, right?
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, Audrey says that the Myers was out of, or the Jewel was out of rubbing alcohol. See, there are all kinds of peroxide and a lot of witch hazel. I don't think witch hazel does anything. What is witch hazel?
I'll tell you this: it is almost like a 9/11. God forbid a billion times, or like a war. Because I went to Mariano's, the local Mariano's in Northbrook, and that place has been laying off people and empty lines, and you know. Automated checkout, you know, we don't want the cashiers and whatever. I went there Monday or Tuesday, and it was like, pull the people off the service desk, pull the people out of, you know, stocking and whatever. They had 8 lines open, all cashiers, all people, not computers, and they were 20 deep. And I mean, it was like 10 o'clock in the morning, I went to get a gallon of milk. I mean, it was, I haven't seen, ever since I got taken over by Kroger, supposedly, and I don't shop there much, the quality of produce and meat has gone down, so I hardly ever go there. But I went there because they're a little cheaper on some items, and it was an absolute mob scene. And every basket was filled, other than mine, with a gallon of milk. They let me go through. Every other basket was $120 and more.
We've had people that are contribute to the show that have gone out and bought like 50 pounds of rice. And that's a lot of rice. We have people that have reported that the pasta aisles at their local store are empty. What would you go for? And obviously you go for the rice around.
Velveeta, it'll withstand the nuclear war.
Yeah, well, you could go with the Twinkies.
I was going to say, tons of Twinkies?
Tons of Twinkies. You could go with the... mac and cheese, the Kraft.
Yeah.
That'll last forever. You just need water for that, right? I think. I don't have a cooked mac
for the Instamac, just powdered cheese and pasta. You just add
salt
water
in there, you're good to go. And I got to believe Spam. I don't know if I could drop down to... I kicked up YouTube yesterday. I was looking to
see... What about, like, sardines and tuna and stuff?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
That'll work.
That's what I would do.
But I kicked up YouTube yesterday, and guess what's on front page, because I like looking at recipes. Guess what our front page is? Big. This guy's got this huge cast iron pot, and he's got Spam and eggs.
Okay.
And the weird part is this how you... I don't know. The eggs are on top of the Spam. A slice of Spam. Is that how you cook Spam and eggs?
I can honestly say I've never had Spam before.
I have not either.
I've had it one time in my life. That was enough.
What? Some people claim, well, now there's about 8 different flavors. There's jalapeno Spam, there's cheese
they
Spam.
They sell a lot of it. Hormel sells a hell of a lot of it.
Well, didn't that start out as Army food?
I think so.
Was it NASA? It was one of the two.
But the odd part is the people who pull it out of there, it's got all that grease around it, they don't even fry it. They eat it fresh. Ugh.
Oh,
at least if you fried it away, it's probably somewhat palatable. All right, David, how do you chart something like this when there's like no liquidity? Seems like we're 30, 40 points in any kind of move during the day in a NASDAQ. I mean, I've watched some 60-point moves where we're down, all of a sudden, oops, we're going the other way, and they're like every tick is a point or two, and then all of a sudden you're 25, 30 points.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody from the floor, and he had what did he have? He had 2 12-lot minis, mini S&Ps, and a 12-lot mini NASDAQ, and both stops. And the liquidity in S&P was really good. I mean, you got hit on both in the Goldbecks in the all sessions, and it was literally a one handle slippage on the stop on the mini S&P. On NASDAQ, it was 20 handles.
I was going to say the Nantex Sparkman.
He said it was a good fill, because it literally a good fill. It hit air. He said the next tick that he had for somebody else was 30 handles lower than that.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, when you put a stop in, well, really on an option or a stack, but generally on a future or a stack, the definition of a stop is you define it. What it says is when something reaches a certain price, something happens. Okay, so if I put a IBM's trading 130.78. So if I were to buy it here, buy 1,000 shares at 130.78, and I say I want a 130 stop. What that means is if IBM trades 130 or is offered below that, I now have an order. My broker now has an order to market sell IBM. Now, it doesn't mean I get filled at 130. I get filled at 120 or 115. Right. It probably won't happen. But
depends where the next bid is.
But you could also, if you want to put in, you could say, I want to stop at IBM 130, low of 129 and a half. You could do that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you put in a limit. It's a stop limit.
Stop limit order. So a lot of people who trade futures, they always put a stop in case they're wrong. The idea being is if you enter the futures market, we don't have a whole lot of people do that. Actually, we do have people doing E-minis a lot now, but you put a stop in, I'm going to buy it at 100, I'll put a stop in at 99 and a half. Okay, so if you get stopped out two, three times during a day, with the one time you buy it at 100 and then you sell it at 102, you're up on the day. That's people that are serious futures traders from historically get stopped out a real lot, and then once in a while they catch one and they let it run. It's a different style on the futures side than it is necessarily on the security side. But we don't have many people doing that in a long time. We used to have a lot of people doing that. But now the stops, especially a stop in the middle of the night, could be anywhere. And a lot of times you'll see, I'll say it's not illegal, but it might be somewhat unscrupulous, is you'll see people in the pits, when there used to be pits, or maybe now, electronically, moving stuff up and down a dollar or two trying to catch a spot. So if IBM is, there's a bid to buy it at 130, I might try and sell it at 130, and all of a sudden if there's a stop there and there's nobody else around, I can buy it back from the guy at 129 and a half. So I could essentially trip the stop. You see, some people on trading floors used to do that back in the day, right, David? I mean, it's...
Yeah.
And, that's one of the issues with having stops in. You might have somebody fishing around, especially like at lunchtime or when there's nobody, when it was...
Well, and Globex Terminal, if you have the Globex, if you're that sophisticated or have a membership or whatever, you literally can see where the stuff is, which used to be illegal, but you can see it now.
So you can essentially trip the stop and then be a buyer.
Exactly.
Which is...
I have a problem border, with that.
I think it's borderline criminal, but that's...
An absolute no-no, but yeah. That's what it is now.
Yeah, that used to be an absolute no-no. And now all of a sudden, a lot of things... We were just talking about that earlier in the show, David. Things that used to be absolute no-nos, like, Congress people trading their stuff and everything. I mean, you have to ask yourself... this is what brought up the question the other day, last week, when I got all this stuff about the tricks these guys are pulling. Let's see. David gets elected senator. He's got $500,000. David makes, what's a senator make, Manny? 400 a year, 350, something like that. He's there for 5 years, and all of a sudden David's net worth is $20 million. We're like, wait, let's see. 400 times a year times 10 years, that's $4 million. He's got to live on that, right? That two houses. And he only started with $500,000. How the hell has he got, how does that get there? So I essentially lobbed that out for a couple of days, and that's when I started getting the stuff about Bernie's campaign, buying the books from him personally, and people using... They're advertising that they're buying, that their wife or somebody is the advertising agent, getting the 20% discount from the station. And I mean, I wish I had this imagination, man. I really do. I mean, David, I just don't have it. I never had it. I never had this slide.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He just became a millionaire, according to what he says, 3 years ago. He did write a book, but he's a senator. Now he's got three homes, and Biden paid $5,000. In advertising per delegate, and Bernie from his quote unquote, $5 to $50 contributions, just masses and whatever, he spent $46,000 per delegate won, nine times what Biden spent.
Well, I mean, he's getting money from somewhere. I mean,
you talking about Bernie?
Yeah,
he's getting money from people. He has zero super PACs. The average donation is $21. People are giving him money. He's the only one of the people.
I see.
Literally.
Nine times what Biden did, and he's poorer, but he spent $46,000 from $5 and $10 and $20 contributions.
I would like to be.
Why do I have a problem with that?
Well, I would love to have been Bloomberg's advertising agent. Who do you think he used?
Everybody.
He had some pretty good ads.
He employed 4,600 people for this.
Wow. Well, I got a thing yesterday real quick from one of our listeners and was saying that Bloomberg has always hired women, usually at least 50%, and he's always paid them the same amount as guys, and the women didn't like him. He's always had black people or minorities, and they didn't vote for him. It's like people finally do something you ask them to do, and then you... I mean, granted, he's got other sides of the story, but I think the bottom line is, David, is that if you do something people don't like, they will vote against you. If you do something they do like, they won't necessarily vote for you.
Yeah, they don't know it. And supposedly at the main headquarters, 70% of them were women, and there were 6 on the board of directors.
Yeah. And yet, you know, can't get a vote. Anyway, of course, his personality and the fact that he tried to buy it probably rubbed some people the wrong way. That's a problem. SP Futures down 64. NASDAQ Futures down 180. We'll see if we hang down here or we rally. We'll let you know Monday.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.